You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Let me start with this. How many of you really have asked this question, there must be more? Nobody? Okay. Well, there is. So, fasten your seatbelt. Basically, what I'm doing is, and this is what prophets do a lot of times, is they actually give you a glimpse of the future before it's relevant for you. And so, there's things that we get to operate in and get to be a part of, and then we actually come to the body of Christ and say, this is available if you want it. What I find out is most people are afraid of what they don't understand. But here's the whole key to the gospel. It's like I said last night, you were never meant to understand it before you experience it. How many of you understood salvation? You don't understand salvation. How could a God come and die on a cross for you, shed the blood, go to hell for you, raise from death, give you his position on the planet? Don't make sense. It sure is good to experience it. So I'm going to say some things tonight you've probably never heard before, but just because you hadn't heard them don't mean they're not true. Why? Because we're in a reformation season. So God is reforming us. And so if we're going to operate in the supernatural, you're going to have to change. If you don't change, you're going to get the same thing you've been getting. Now, when these kind of messages come forth, they're very abrasive. In other words, you know, I just had basically a psychologist come down and teach to our church. And he tells what happens in the brain when you hear something that you've never heard before. It's actually like someone playing on a piano when it goes boom, 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 and it's out of tune. And literally in the brain, you start going heresy, heresy, heresy. Run, run, run. This is not right. Why? Because you've never heard it before. I give it to you like this. When I was in fifth grade, which wasn't very long ago, they did something that really made the bong, bong, bong. They took the number system and they brought the alphabet into it and called it algebra. How many knows I'm going, there's something wrong with this? You know, I had enough problems trying to put numbers together. Then you want to bring the alphabet into it. Right? Come on, how many of y'all with the plus? You know, 2 plus 2. Right? And then they change the plus sign to make it an X. And then, you know, 2 times 2, same thing. But then you get to 3 and everything changes. You're like, wait a minute, this is not what you taught me in second grade. So what am I telling you? If you're really going to truly operate in the kingdom, you got to approach the kingdom like a little child. You got to approach the kingdom like you don't know anything. Are you with me? If when you hear something, you automatically go, that's not right, then float on out of here. Right? Because you're not being like a little child. That's the best way I can prepare you for this. Because, you know, John Adams said this, the second president of the United States of America, you tell a lie long enough, you believe it to be the truth. Especially in America that has evangelized the world, the problem with America is we've had evangelists determine our doctrine. And because it was all about souls and getting the boat, because Jesus is about to come and get us out of here. And so we develop our doctrine from evangelists. The people that should be laying the doctrine that are gifted to lay doctrine are apostles and prophets. That's actually who wrote the Bible. Prophets in the Old Testament, apostles in the New Testament. And so you have seen the progression of the body of Christ and how these gifts have been added back to the body of Christ. The last two that's been restored has been the prophets and the apostles. So what's happening now is you're starting to hear messages that we've never heard before. You're starting to hear revelation you've never heard before. And it's because he set those back in place to challenge us to really what the gospel is about. The gospel is really good news. It really is. Do you know it's not about heaven and hell? See, evangelists have made the gospel about heaven and hell. The gospel is not about a place. The gospel is about a person. See, Jesus don't live in heaven. Heaven lives in him. So if he lives in me, where's heaven? And people's always trying to get to some place that they already possess. Okay. Tomorrow night, we're probably, hopefully we're going to try to go to end this, but I'm going to try to start to lead you into coming out of the old and moving fully into the new. Most people don't understand why they don't get their prayers answered. And they don't get their prayers answered because they're double-minded. They're double-minded because they're operating in the old and new covenant. Or they're trying to. So you have to understand, you don't have a covenant with God anymore. Sorry to break that bad news to you. Lock the doors. Don't let them out. Neither does Israel. They had an old covenant. But now there's a new covenant. And that new covenant was made between God the Father and God the Son. That's why it can't be broken. And when you get born again, you get in on his covenant. See, if it was your covenant, you'd break it. See, when we read the Bible, we don't truly understand what's old covenant and new covenant. Did you know the Gospels are not new covenant? The Gospels are New Testament, but not new covenant. Because you can't have a new covenant without the shedding of blood. He didn't even bring up the new covenant to the Last Supper. So most of the teachings that you're trying to live by with Jesus, he wasn't even talking to you. He was talking to Jews under an old covenant system. Oh, wow. See, if we don't go back and deal with this stuff, that's why we've had so many doctrines about, you know, like women. Women can't preach in church. You know, if you're divorced, right? And you marry somebody else, what did Jesus say about that? They're living in adultery and so are you. Well, you don't understand what he was talking to, and who he was addressing was the Jews in an old covenant system. And he was pointing them to the kingdom. But see, if you don't put it in the original context and understand who's talking and beginning a subject and end a subject, then you just say, well, it's in the Bible. Well, just because it's in the Bible, I got news for you. The Bible wasn't written to you. The book of Corinthians was written to the Corinthians. And it wasn't a book, it was a letter. So a letter has a mode and a theme all the way through the letter. What we do is take pieces out of the leather and say, well, this is the Bible. When he talks about women in church, Paul was answering their question. And if you don't go back to original Hebrew, you don't even see that. And you create a whole doctrine around it, now women can't preach in church. Come on. And we believed it for years because that's what they told us. Well, you know what's wrong with you, right? You've been taught by humans. You're laughing, but you were never meant to be taught by humans. Matter of fact, he said, I've given you an anointing to lead and guide you into all truth, so why are you being taught by humans? Humans' number one responsibility is to help equip you to Father and let Father teach you. See, we've been told Holy Spirit's the only one that gives you revelation. That's not true. Hello? Revelation Peter got, what was it? You are the Christ, the Son of a living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't give you this, but my Father gave it to you. So Father gives revelation. Paul said, the message he got, he said, I didn't even go to the apostles and talk to them about it. He said, I went out in the desert and I got it from Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus Christ gives revelation. And we know Holy Spirit has given it to us to lead us and guide us into all truth. So there we got the Trinity all operating together. But you've been lied to saying all you got access to is Holy Spirit. And you just accepted that. And when you die, you'll have a relationship with Father and Jesus. Hello? Well, that goes against what Jesus prayed, because in John 17, Jesus prayed that you would be one with Father the way he was one with Father. Where was he at? He was on the earth. Really quiet. So let's just go here, okay? Genesis, let's better start in the beginning. Just really mess your whole theology up. Genesis chapter 2. You've probably never seen this before. So I'll show you in your own Bible. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man who he had formed. Now I want you to get this. It's not the Garden of Eden. We've always been taught that, but it's not the Garden of Eden. He said, eastward in Eden, God went and planted a garden. So it's like this. Eastward in Queensland, God planted Brisbane. Did you get that? Eden is the whole territory. And then he goes eastward in Eden and plants a garden. Read it. That's what it says. We call it the Garden of Eden. See, Eden is God's garden. Okay, you look at me like that, I'll hurt you. Ezekiel 28. See, I'd like to just preach it to you, but because I had never hit this subject, I got to prove a little bit, right? So Ezekiel 28, verse 13, talking about the devil. You were in Eden, the garden of God. So what's Eden? The garden of God. Well, thank you for your confirmation there. Since y'all didn't say amen, I had to hurt you with the word. Are you understanding? So this is what you're understanding. Eden was the place where God would come off his throne and walk in his garden. Eastward in Eden, he planted a garden for man. Are you with me? That's the reason they can't find Eden, because Eden is a spiritual place, not a physical place. I just showed you the enemy was with God in Eden before man fell. Before Satan fell, he was with him in the garden. It's a spiritual dimension. You okay? The reason that's so important, because we know when man disobeyed, he was driven out of Eden. But when God made man, he didn't make man in Eden. He made man from earth. And then he placed the man in Eden. Y'all read your Bible, right? He made him from the earth, and then he placed him in the garden. And gave him dominion over everything in the garden. That's why he couldn't stop Eve from eating of the tree. Because he gave them dominion. When he gave them dominion, it means he gave them authority to choose. So he could not stop them. So there's things you're asking God to do today that he cannot do. Why? He's already done them. And he's given you the authority to carry it out. So he's bound by his own word. So he's sovereign until he speaks. Everybody that's Calvinist? Sorry, but he is sovereign, but he's sovereign until he speaks. Once he speaks, he has to watch over his word to perform it. He's bound by his own word. Are you following me? So if this is a spiritual dimension, and man was kicked out of that dimension, or driven out, and then he was placed there to protect it. Does anybody know what was there to protect it? And so what was it protecting? The, come on, say it. I don't read the Bible. Go back to Genesis. Come on, it was something that was protected. Does anybody know? Verse 24, chapter 3. So he drove out the man and placed the cherubim of the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the, come on, say it, guard the, the way. Guard the way to the tree of life. Come on, I need you to get this. Why is that so important? Because Jesus Christ has come as the second Adam, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. So what's he saying? You have access back to that spiritual dimension. If the first Adam lost it, the second Adam come to get it back. So there's a spiritual dimension that you have access to. How many of y'all got born again? Well, evidently you found the way. Because you ate of the tree of life. But then you won't go back. Okay, I mean, how did you get born again? Did you get born again naturally or spiritually? Spiritually. So you got an invitation from the spirit realm, and you ate from the spirit realm, and then you quit eating. In other words, he gave you an invitation into his realm to eat of him. And because you've been told it's all about salvation and making it to heaven, then you just quit. And then finally somebody come along and told you there was some Shandai Lundai out there. And so you got that. So you ate a little bit more of the spiritual realm. Come on. And then you just stopped on that. Heaven knows you don't have to stop. You can have access into that realm. See, I used to think, because I had been to that realm so many times, but he would come and take me to that realm. I didn't know that I could go there on my own. Well, you're already seated there. What's the big deal? I'm already a citizen there. I already have rights there. There's already a book there written about me. Why shouldn't I have access there? It's because you hadn't been taught. You've been taught that you get it when you die. Well, if you get it when you die, then death is your reward. In other words, you get rewarded because you died to get your inheritance. You don't get your inheritance when you die. You get your inheritance when somebody else dies. So let's just see, did Jesus operate like that? Well, I'm glad you asked. John chapter 3. Just give you a little bit of... I'm going to have to skip over some of it because I just don't have time. But this is a famous passage that Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. This is the only time you even hear Jesus talk about being born again. Do you know he never taught being born again? Did you know Jesus never taught Jesus? Jesus never taught Jesus. We have churches that get up and preach Jesus every day. You know why he never taught Jesus? Because Jesus is just the door. In other words, what you worship is just the door to the kingdom. Listen, I'm not coming against Jesus because Jesus understood who he was. He's the door to the kingdom. He came preaching the kingdom. He came preaching the whole dimension, and you're just settled with the door. You're just glad you got in. All right. I asked him about preaching this. He said it was okay, so y'all can quit looking at me like that. Think about it. When did Jesus preach Jesus? It's the only time he ever preached born again, and it was in private. He never preached born again out in public. What did he preach? The kingdom. Why? Because he always preaches everything, not just the door. He's just the door for you to get in the kingdom. But we worship the door every Sunday. All right. Better get off that one. I got some dirty looks. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher?" Talking to Nicodemus. "Why do you not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you what? Heavenly things." So here we go. You ready? He's giving you a key. He's about to tell you some heavenly things. "No one has ascended to heaven but he who has come down from heaven." Who would that be? That'd be Jesus, right? "That is the Son of Man who is in heaven." Did you get what he just said? Look at it again. He's standing in before him. "No one has ascended to heaven but the one that has come down from heaven, that's standing before you now, but he's in heaven." This is before the death and the resurrection. John chapter 10. Verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and..." That's not a burger. Okay. I'm in Australia, not America. We have In-N-Out Burger. Sorry. "He will go in and out and find pasture." Going in and out of what? Did you get that? What? Okay. What is the door for? How'd you get in here? You come in. When you go out the door, where are you at? You're out. The door is for you to go in and out. Inside and outside. Come on, we need to make a song about this. Jesus is the door. What is he the door of? He brought heaven here. He brought the kingdom here. He brought it. Now it lives on the inside of you, so that now you have access through the door into that realm. Why? So you can operate on the planet the way he operated on the planet. How did he operate? He didn't do anything unless he saw the Father do it. That's why he didn't make a lot of mistakes. That's why he didn't operate by faith. He operated by dominion. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Dominion is, I see it. See, people wanted to ask me, how did you raise your wife from the dead? I heard from heaven. I saw it. It was not faith. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Once you see it, you move in the dominion. You move in raw dog. I called this girl out the other day. She had 5 miscarriages. I didn't know she had 5 miscarriages. She stood up and I said, you're going to have a baby. Everybody in the church started crying. I said, it has nothing to do with your faith. It has to do with me. And I'm thinking, this is on tape. Okay, what did I do? I stepped over in dominion. And she told me, she said, oh, I had 5 miscarriages. I said, it doesn't matter if you've had 5 miscarriages. It has nothing to do with you. I just pronounced to you what I just saw. And what I just saw, it's manifested when I spoke it. Why? Because I'm a son on the planet. So what am I? I am of my father. I am a son. I am a builder of the father's name. What is my daddy? He is a creator. What am I? The same thing he is. I create what doesn't exist. That's what he gives you the power to do with wealth. You create wealth. Are you understanding? We're asking him to do something he's given us the power to do. But we have not been taught how to access that realm to go in and out. Are you with me? And he does this. Now listen, we read stories about it all the time. The supernatural. What did Abraham do? He hung out with angels. Come on, God's going to tear up a city, and Abraham realizes, wait a minute, I can change God's mind. Not so sovereign, is he? God's a negotiator. Did you hear me? Here, Abraham's negotiating with God. He says, for 50 righteous. God says, okay. Abraham's like, really? How about 40? God says, okay. Wow, I got something going on here. The Almighty God that created everything is in negotiation with me. And he knows God wants to negotiate with you. Why? Because it's not you and him. It's you walking together. It's you operating together. That's what this whole thing's about. It's about knowing him. It's about knowing his heart and expressing his love on the planet. Come on, you know what Elijah was known for when they found Elijah? He said, go tell the king I'm going to show up. He goes, uh-uh. He goes, why? Because when you go tell him, God's going to pick you up and take you and put you somewhere else. How many knows that'd be supernatural? How many knows he outrun the chariot? He has the record for the 100-yard dash. See, we read those stories, but we don't think we can do it. We just think they can do it. And they're in an old covenant. We're in a new covenant. Come on. Elisha's standing out there, and the whole army's against him, and he's in complete confidence, and his servant's going, what's wrong with you? And he said, man, there's more for us than against us. He goes, what the heck are you talking about? He said, God, open his eyes. And he opens his eyes, and what happened? Did they just show up? No, they were always there. He just was able to see them. Where do you think the great cloud of witnesses are, guys? See, that realm is right here. Heaven is not out there. Yeah, this is a place, but heaven's here. It's a dimension. See, I'm not going to teach something that I don't experience. I'm not going to do it. So I have to be careful not to give you my experiences, because you'll try to have an experience like I had. And I have to be very careful with that, okay? Because I'm not here to preach my experiences. I'm here to tell you what's legal. It belongs to you. Jesus did it all the time. Matter of fact, when he was going to feed the multitude and he fed them with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and then he told the disciples to go to the other side, he said, I'm going to go up into this mountain to pray. The original translation is not go on the mountain. The original translation is I'm going to go in the mountain. You know why? Because a mountain to the Jews represented government. See, the reason we don't understand the book, because it's written in the East, from Jews to Jews, which is Hebrew or Aramaic. And we bring it into the West, and what do? We're Greek mindset, so we're linear, beginning, end. Hebrews don't think like that. Hebrews think circularly. So when God said, in the beginning, that's the start and finish. That's why you always hear God saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, because when he starts it, he finishes it. Then he backs up and gives it to you and says, carry it out. It's already done. All your days are already written in his book. Yet before any one of them was lived out. He started and finished it. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Am I hurting your brain yet? See, see, that's why we get in trouble. We're trying to understand something instead of experience it. Once you experience it, y'all, your understanding goes, shoot, I thought I knew about this. And then you go in that realm, and once you see it, you go, uh-oh, it's not the way we thought. Are you with me? So he goes up into the mountain and he tells them to go to the other side. And then he gets through praying, he's going to go meet them. But he's in that other realm. And so they see him in the other realm. They think he's a ghost. And he's walking on the water. No, he wasn't. He's just walking in the other realm. That's why Peter said, if it's really you, bid me to come so I can walk in another realm like you did. So Peter starts to walk in the other realm, and then he doubts, slips back over into the natural realm, and sinks. Oh, y'all don't want to talk to me. In case you don't know, you can't walk on water. How do you know? I tried. But when you're walking in that other dimension, guess what? Anything's possible because you're in a different dimension. Then the laws that hold you in this dimension don't hold you in that dimension. Matter of fact, he told his disciples one day, he said, let's do something here. He said, I'm going to go up into the mountain of God here. Won't y'all three come with me? I'm going to let y'all see something nobody else gets to see. How many of y'all want to see something nobody else gets to see? Well, you got to position yourself for it. So he goes up there, and he steps over into another dimension, and he lets them see him transform. And they see Moses and Elijah. How many knows the meeting was between Jesus, Moses, and Elijah and God? That's the meeting. Peter, James, and John's the audience. God was not talking to Peter, James, and John. Why? Because what did he say? This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Peter, James, and John already knew who he was. Matter of fact, he asked them a question. Who am I? He said, you're the son. Hello, they done knew the story of John the Baptist baptizing him and the heavens opening and saying, this is my son. They already knew. He wasn't talking to Peter, James, and John. He's talking to Moses and Elijah. There's been an introduction here. He's introducing Moses and Elijah to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, which is what Moses represented and Elijah represented. So he let these two guys meet the finisher of their destiny. I told you, we serve a pretty awesome God, man. He's supernatural. That's why Paul rebuked him and said, why are y'all acting like mere humans? Why? Because you're not a mere human. The world knows more about this than we do. That's why they have Wonder Woman and Superman and Spider-Man. Why? Because they know there's another dimension out there that causes us to be greater than what we are. So what we do is in the church, we come here and preach on heaven and hell, and every Friday and Saturday night, people go out trying to get in that other dimension. They use drugs. They use alcohol. They use anything because they know, everybody knows there's more than this. There is something out there that's more than this. And the church is scared of it and don't want to operate in it. Yet the Bible is full of men that operate in this dimension. And we're afraid of it. I can show you where Moses actually took the elders, went to heaven, and ate with God. It's in your Bible. Oh, y'all going to go look tonight, ain't you? It's in there. What do you think Moses did when he went up on that mountain? See, to a Jew, a mountain represents the government of God. Why? Because that's where God met them and gave them the government. Are you with me? What do you think Moses was doing when he went up there for 40 days? He wasn't just laying on his face. He's hanging out with God. He's getting instruction for God. What do you think Moses was doing when he would go into the tabernacle of meetings? He's stepping over into another dimension. That's why when he would come down, they'd go, oh my gosh, I can't stand to look on you. Why? Because you're carrying his glory. You're different than us. You're carrying something we're not carrying. You ever seen a woman that gets pregnant? What's she carrying? She's carrying life. So what do you say? There's a glow about you. Why? Because she's carrying life on the inside of her. See, that's what Christians are supposed to look like to the world. The world's supposed to look at you and go, man, you're different. You look different. There's something different about you. Why? You're carrying something they don't know anything about. And see, when you're going in and out of that realm, you're experiencing the relationship. You come back, you don't care about arguing. You don't care if somebody likes what you believe or not. You're not caring about doctrine or theology. I could care less. I'm not going to argue with you whether I'm right or not. I'm going to experience it. It's like I said, I had a lot of people tell me I was never going to make it with my wife. I don't care. I've been experiencing it for 29 years. Stay in your doubt and unbelief. I'm going to go ahead and experience it and bear the fruit of it. See, people don't believe it until they get in crisis. Then when they get in crisis, they call you. Because you do things they can't do that they were against until they needed you. Then when they need you, they say, we didn't believe in you, but now we need you. Will you come help us? You understand what I'm saying? See, this is what we're moving into, and it's not going to be the fivefold ministry and elite preachers that do this. It's going to be grandmas and grandpas and young people, and we're already seeing it happen. I'm seeing people in our church having supernatural encounters. I mean, it's amazing what's happening. I mean, I'm sitting down going, oh, my gosh, I ain't even got to do that yet. But there's no competition in the kingdom. I'm rejoicing in what they're doing. Why? Because there's times I'm speaking and training them, then they're going in and doing stuff, then I become the student. I said, tell me, how did you do that? They go, I don't know. I go, I don't either. You know why? Because you want to make a formula. Because if you make a formula, you can package it. And you can give it to people. And so when I start teaching on this, people go through everything. Then they come up to me and just tell me how to do it. And I say, oh, it's easy. Just go through the door. But to go through the door, you got to have a relationship. See, everything is about knowing him. It's not about going to heaven so you can see some things and come back and tell everybody what you saw. Oh, I'm spiritual. I went to heaven. Who cares? Where's the fruit of why you went? You understand what I'm saying? So let me tell you one encounter. I'll give you one, okay? It's probably going to cost me, but I'm going to do it. One of my encounters, I had an encounter with Moses. And Moses was... he had a fire. And I understand fire represents Moses because Moses was bringing the children of Israel out to purge them from the world. Joshua represents the sword. Moses represents the fire. There's a different anointing that takes you out than takes you in. That's why God manifested himself in the fire to Moses, and he manifests himself as the warrior with the sword drawn to Joshua. You following me? Why? Because he promised him that he would drive them out of the land. It's the Lord Sabaoth, the God of the armies. And I'll teach a little bit on that because it was out of covenant. And he was bound by his word in covenant to them to drive them out. Anyway, so I'm talking to him. We're having this conversation. And I mean, I'm so excited that it's Moses. You say, how do you know it's Moses? I don't know. I just know. Because when you're in that realm, you know things that you can't tell how you know. You just know. And you have conversation without talking. I'm just telling you, it happens. And I mean, he'll answer you before you say anything, which freaked me out the first time. Anyway, so we're having this conversation, and I'm asking him questions and stuff, and then he reaches into the fire, and it's like these big old stones like this, and there's like diamond things all over them, and they're sparkling, and they're burning. It looks like, you know, it's hot, but he just reaches right in and pulls out this green stone. And he hands me the green stone. He says, you're going to need this. And so I take it out. Okay, what do you want me to do with it? He said, just put it inside of you. And so you're in the spirit realm. So you just, I just put it in. I was like, okay, I mean, it's Moses. What do you do? Argue with him? Okay. So I put it in. About a week later, I have this encounter, and it's like I'm flying over America. And I'm looking. And I can hear drugs, and I can hear abuse, and I can hear all this stuff going on, but I can't see it. And I said, God, how come I can't see? He said, take out the green stone. So I pull out the green stone. He said, put it to your eyes. And I put it up to my eyes, and then I could see everything. And I said, God, how come I couldn't see without the green stone? He said, your love wasn't perfected enough that you could see what's going on without judging them by your flesh. And I went, oh, my gosh. Now I knew why I met Moses. What kept Moses from going in the promised land? He judged the people and got angry at them, and he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. Did you understand what I said? So I went to God because the first prophetic word I ever got over my life is a guy called me out and said, you're like Moses. And so now me and God's got to have a conversation. Because all of a sudden, things started coming up. And he said, you have to understand something, Darren. He said, you're actually fulfilling what I spoke to Moses. Because the word doesn't change. So in other words, Moses was the deliverer of his people out of Egypt. God says, I'm going to use you to deliver my people out of religion. So the mandate is the same. That's why I had an encounter with Moses. Now, Moses is actually the cloud of witnesses. It's helping me not to make the same mistakes he made. Did you get that? So somebody sent me a deal of Bob Jones. I really didn't know. I don't know if y'all know who Bob Jones. He was a powerful prophet back in the day. And someone says, you need to listen to this. So I put it on. I'm laying on my bed. And Bob Jones says, yeah, I was taken to heaven and God gave me the green stone. I about flipped out of my bed. And I went to my wife. I said, did you hear that? She goes, I knew I heard that somewhere. Where did I hear that at? I'm like, me! Why? Because you have to understand something. When you experience something, then you come back into your flesh will tell you that it ain't real. Because you can't prove it with any of your senses. See, that's the biggest thing. People say, well, I don't believe it. Well, I don't care. You can't prove it. Just watch my fruit. That's all you can tell people. Why? Because you can't prove it to somebody. You have to experience it. Because there's things that I'm telling you that's going to happen that if you don't experience them, you'll never understand them to get to them. It's not possible. So what I'm trying to tell you is God is aligning us, and what is happening is there is awakening. It's happening. But the awakening is not coming on us. It's coming out of us. It's awakening us to identity through union and intimacy to be who God's called us to be. And that's supernatural. We're called to be supernatural. Paul said this, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body, but I know a man, right? Went into the third heavens. How about John said, you know, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I saw a door. Who y'all think that was? And he went through the door and wrote the whole book of Revelation. Are y'all out there? But see, we read those as their stories and, well, you know, that was just certain people that God called to do certain things. Really? Everything Jesus did, he said, you're a co-heir with him. You're supposed to operate on the earth the way he does. But what we've done, we've taken the gospel, we've dumbed it down, and we've made it about heaven and hell and just about getting to a place. When the whole issue was, it was about getting heaven here. Matter of fact, I think it's somewhere written in a book somewhere. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Well, if his will is going to be done on earth, where are you going to see his will? How are you going to know what he wants? Are you with me? We're always asking him to come into our realm when he's invited us to come to his. I talked to you about Jacob last night when he had the encounter and had a ladder. What was he doing? He was inviting Jacob to come up into his realm. In the book of Exodus, you'll see where Moses took the elders, went up into heaven, and had a meal with God. Come on. Supernatural things all the way through the book. And what do we settle for? We still griping over the carpet. And who's in charge? I'm telling you, you start operating in the things of God, and the presence of God starts operating, people don't care. They just want that presence. They just want to be around the things of God. I'm telling you, when somebody's dying of cancer and they ask you to come pray, they don't care about your theology or your end-time doctrine. They could care less. They want to know, do you know him? Are you carrying something that can change this person? See, we got to quit arguing over that stuff, trying to prove our point and saying, this is what I believe and I'm this and I'm that. Who cares? The world don't care. It's the church that cares. God's not a Methodist. He's not a Catholic. He's not a Jehovah's Witness. He's not a Mormon. But see, we want to separate us from all of those. The issue is, you know Mormons? I know some Mormons that know God and have a relationship with him. But what do? We try to put everybody in a box. And then we judge them according to what we think they believe. You following me? I'm challenging you. This is what's happening. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he's showing us how to access that realm. When I first start doing this, and I just got a few minutes here, but when I first start doing this, I went in for about 3 months. Because I told my wife, I said, I know this is possible because he's taking me there. This was one of the first encounters I had. I was in third person and first person at the same time. How do you do that? I don't know. And I'm watching myself, and I'm looking down, seeing myself. And I see me, and Holy Spirit is there, and Holy Spirit takes me by the arm. And I can see myself, and then I look up, and I see Jesus, and I see Father. And I know, I don't know how I know, but I know this is a wedding. And I know I'm about to get married. So Holy Spirit's walking me up, and I'm thinking, okay, what he's going to do, he's going to hand me off to Jesus, and then Jesus is going to take me up to Father. And then Father's going to perform the ceremony with me and Jesus. That's the way my mind's set in a wedding. Holy Spirit walks me up to Jesus, and Jesus grabs his arm, and they both keep walking. And then we walk up to Father, and we get to Father, all three of them put their face in, his face, Jesus, Holy Spirit, with mine, and he says, "Welcome to the family." I came out of that encounter shaking, begging him to go back. I said, "Take me back, take me back, take me back." He said, "Why? You can come here anytime you want." I was so mad because I did not, it took me 10 years to get that revelation. After I had the encounter, it took me 10 years. Because he would come trying to show me, and my religious mind couldn't handle it. And I would say, "That's not legal. I can't do that." And I would push him away when he would try to give me invitation to that realm. So he would have to take me in my sleep because I was too stubborn to go when I was awake. Are you hearing me? And then a situation happened with my son that I was compelled to have to go into that realm out of crisis. And so then I was like, "Look, there's life and death on the line. I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks. I got to find out because my son's life depends on it." And so for 3 months, I tried to go in that realm. And I mean, I was doing everything I knew to do, and I couldn't get anywhere. I said, "I'm done. I ain't doing it no more." I ain't going to tell you everything I said, but he knows. I was frustrated. And when I quit, all of a sudden, it was just like, and I was there. And I'm looking around. I'm going, "How did I do that?" He said, "You didn't, I did." He said, "I had to let you give up. And then when you yielded, I could bring you in here." Let me show you what I'm talking about. Anybody ever studied the tabernacle? Yeah, the outer court, which was the gate. To get into the inner court, or the holy place, you had to go through the door. And then you had the veil. Well, the veil is 6 to 13 inches thick, and it's one. There's no rips in it. So let me ask you something. How did the priest get into the Holy of Holies? He would take the altar of incense and he would worship. And he would worship. And then God would suck him through the veil. Did you get what I just said? It was a type and shadow of what's available to us. That you can worship and enter that place that you actually, God just in that other realm. Did y'all get what I just said? I give you a clue. Because the veil is Jesus. The door is Jesus. It's all about knowing him, whether you're in that realm or this realm. It's all about knowing him. And I experienced things in that realm that I come back, and I didn't have English for. But I told my wife, I said, "There's some things that we've taught, they ain't right." She goes, "What are you going to do?" I go, "I got to figure out how to tell people." I'm just being serious, because once you experience it, there's no argument. It is the way it is when you see it there. I'm going to tell you one more. Just because I feel... Anyway, I go there. And in this encounter, I'm talking to Jesus, and we're sitting on a bridge. We're having conversation, and I mean, I'm so excited. I'm like, "I'm talking to Jesus. This is awesome." And he looks at me, and underneath is a river, and he says, "Jump." And I remember looking at him, I'm talking, I'm thinking, "I'm not jumping. I'm not leaving you. And so I sat for another 30 to 45 seconds, and we continue talking. And all of a sudden, I'm like, "Shoot, I got to jump. It's Jesus." So I jump. As soon as I jumped, he jumped. When we hit the water and we come up, and he looks at me, he goes, "How come you didn't jump when I told you to?" I said, "Well, I didn't want to lose the relationship." He said, "Did you lose it?" I said, "No, when I jumped, you jumped." He said, "That's how it works." He said, "Everybody there is waiting on me to do something. I'm waiting on you." He said, "Even with you disobeying, you didn't lose the relationship. It was just a maturing process so you to understand how it works here." Did you get it? And he started, for the first time, I went, "Oh my gosh. We're sitting and praying, waiting for you, and all we need is one little And as soon as we step out, you're right there. Are you getting it? And I mean, my whole world flipped with that one encounter. When I came out of that encounter, I was in a hospital room. And I couldn't talk English. My daughter was setting me, she was watching me going in. She could see the presence. She's watching me go in and out of that realm. Because I'd go in and I'd experience something and I'd come out and I'd be like, and I mean, I'm sure my face was jacked up because my brain was just on overload. And then I would go back in, and because I know the word so much, I would experience it and come out and try to figure it out. And then she'd say, well, tell me what you experienced. I go, I can't. I don't even know how to say it at this point. It took me months to put into, even to tell my family what I experienced. I knew it in here. I could tell you in tongues. And I came out, and the biggest thing he was showing me, he's saying, it's available. It's available to know me 24/7, anywhere, anytime. And I've learned in the midst of crisis, instead of going into chaos, now I can just slip over into that realm. It's available just like that. And I'll hear his voice, and I'll just slip right back. And then I know exactly what to do. Sometimes I hear him, sometimes I see it. Are you following me? You talking about peace. You talking about how to walk in peace? It's easy to walk in peace when you can do that. Because that's the ultimate goal, is to hear or see what Father is doing. Once you know what Father is doing, it's in. You don't have to worry about anything else. Are you following me? That's how we got our son up. Is I saw and I heard, and then I was able to step off into that realm going, it doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. I've done heard from him. I've done saw what was going to happen. You follow me? So I want you to just ask yourself this question as we end. I mean, I just introduced it tonight. And the next two nights, I'm going to show you and give you some tools of how to. I can't give you a formula, but I can give you some tools. But if your belief system don't change, you can't get there. Because you will not live different than you believe. But somewhere, you ought to at least read the book and go, man, if they did it in the old covenant, we ought to be able to do this in the new covenant. And Jesus did it all the time. He was constantly going in and out of there and seeing what Daddy said, and he would do it. You follow me? Did you know that's what Peter did when he walked into the city? You know what really what happened? It wasn't his shadow. Y'all know that, right? It was his spirit man got on the outside. His spirit man got so big, it came on the outside of his flesh. And so when he walked into the city, he didn't even have to tell the devil. His spirit man rebuked that devil. His spirit man healed those people. See, your spirit's on the inside. But when you start operating God, that's what happened to Moses. He started, and his spirit was coming out of his flesh. And Moses was spiritually dead. Tell me how that one works. Are you understand what I'm saying? See, we have this idea that because we're on the planet, you know, you're not just spirit. Your spirit, soul, and body. Adam was spirit, soul, and body before he fell. He was all three there. Are you getting it? So when he breathed into Adam, he breathed the breath of life into Adam. Did you know God did not breathe into the animals? Adam did. In that realm, you don't have to have oxygen. So why did he need to breathe to give life to animals? How did he do that? Tiger. He released the breath of God into the tiger, and the tiger became a tiger. He released the breath. God didn't even breathe into woman. Man did. He said, that is woman, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. The life that God breathed into Adam, he breathed into woman. Guys, you're creators. You create your world by what you speak. That's the power you have. You can frame your world with your words. We ought to know that the power of life and death is in your words. When you understand the authority and move in from that spiritual realm, when you what you experience there, you come into here, you can release it. Everything has to change. That's why God could speak to the elements. That's what he could do, is because he would see it in that realm, come into this realm, and have to listen to him. Guess what? You're sons and daughters. I know every one of you, the question that I ask, every one of you know there's got to be more. This can't be it. Tongues can't be it. And when I started experiencing this, I went, oh my gosh, people are not going to believe me. I had to find some other people that was experiencing it. Because I thought, I ain't going down by myself. Now listen, guys, I got people all over the world now texting me as I've been teaching in this school, telling me their encounters. Crazy encounters. I'm talking about doing supernatural things, and I'm documenting these stories so I don't sound so stupid. I'm serious. Because people, when they don't experience something, they're afraid of it. But this is who we're called to be. We're called to be supernatural. Come on, we're born from another realm. That other realm lives in us. We need to be operating from that realm. But if you don't believe it's possible, you don't even go after it. You don't even position yourself for it. Does that make sense? So I know, I mean, you know, it's tough to give you in an hour what takes me 15 sessions to give people. And I mean, I've been working more on the soul than anything else. If you don't transform your soul, you'll never operate in the spirit. Your soul is too strong because it's dominated by your five senses. You got 15. Your soul has five senses, or your flesh. Your soul has five senses, and so do your spirit. Did you know you can smell God? You can taste God? You can hear God? Come on, your senses work the same way in the spirit realm they do in the natural realm. With me. So what I have to do is I have to train people and give them tools to transform their soul. Why? Because you're dominated by being taught by humans. So humans put limitations on you because they were raised by humans. When you start operating by the Spirit, God starts to show you what's available and you realize they were wrong. Gravity does not dominate me. It's a law. But there's a higher law, that's the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. What did Jesus come to do away with? Sin and death. There's a higher law, guys. You just got to determine, are you willing to be crazy and operate there? It's what the world's waiting for. Watch this. You give this to a generation, you're going to turn the world upside down. Don't be no backsliding. You know why? Because they're wanting to experience him. You start experiencing him like this, you're going to go back to drugs. Because I promise you, it's better than any drug you've ever taken. All I can do is tell you it's possible. And I can give you some tools, but I can't get there for you. But I'm telling you, as I've been doing this school, we're having people operate in this. We're having manifestations. We're having angels show up. We're having things that happen. I just told someone in the car, we had two people, one with a brain tumor and one with cancer. And I mean, supernaturally, God moved on both of them. I mean, the cancer was right before I left, and she had pneumonia. She was so bad, she was on a breathing treatment. And God gave us a word about what we saw. When we saw it, we released it. 2 days, the pneumonia is completely gone, and the cancer has shrunk to half the size. Just like that. Are you following what I'm saying? Why? Because what you see there, you have the right to move it in here. Does that make sense to you? So I am closing, but I'm going to end with this story. I'm just trying to show you the supernatural part. I'm connected with these guys called the Navy SEALs. Y'all know who the Navy SEALs are? One of them is Marcus Luttrell. My daughter works for him. She's his PA. So we've been having these miracles, and, you know, these people, I mean, they don't know sick 'em from come here. You know what I'm saying? They love God, but they have no relationship with God. But they're seeing these miracles. And so she's like, look, I got this friend that's a Navy SEAL, and they can't get pregnant. But I know y'all are different. Y'all do that miracle stuff. They said, will you come to our ranch, and they're really hurt, and they're upset at God, but will you just pray for them incognito? I was like, okay. Well, they didn't tell me I was supposed to do it incognito. So I'm just out there, and this girl walks by me. When she walks by me, I just see over in the spirit realm. And I say, little girl. And so I go to my daughter, and I said, is that her? And she said, yeah. And I said, it's already done. She said, what are you talking about? I said, she's going to have a little girl. I said, I already saw it. So they call me. and they're upset at God, so they call me, and I said, now listen, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I said, I'm going to tell you what you've been through. God's not upset at you. He's not punishing you. He's not giving you a child because of something you've done. I had to take them through that. And I said, now this is what's going to happen. When I speak, this is what's going to happen. So you call me when you find out. And you can hear them on the other end kind of like, okay. They just had twin girls. God snuck one in and I didn't see her. Now, how many knows I don't have to explain to them the goodness of God now? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because I just spoke to them what I saw in the spirit realm. And when I spoke, because I have the authority, it released in the spirit realm into them. And they didn't have nothing to do with it. They don't even know God. They were offended at God because they couldn't get pregnant. They say, how did you do that? I saw it. Do you understand who you are? This is what the enemy is afraid of. Because if we get this, we'll change the world. We'll literally change the world. This is the awakening that's coming. It's not an outpouring coming on you. It's the identity of you raising up to who you are. And you start to operate in this, everything changes. Does that make sense? Okay. Tomorrow night we'll go into some ministry and prophesy. I know I went over my time, but I'm just trying to give a foundation tonight so I can legally take you there in the next two sessions. Does that make sense to you? So I can show you, because there's beliefs about God that I have to change for you, or you won't be able to see Him correctly. And I can do that. And when these things shifted and how I saw God, everything shifted for me. And I was able to step into things because how I saw Him was different. We sing about it, but we really don't know Him as that good Father. There's a reason He did what He did in the old covenant. But you have to understand, we're in a new covenant now with new promises. Okay? It's like this. People say, well, you're cursed. You can't curse me. Why? Because the creator of the universe took my curse. But what do you get every Sunday? Not y'all, but other churches. Well, if you don't tithe, you're cursed. They're bringing you back underneath an old covenant. He took your curse on the cross. Come on, did you hear me? See, when you start learning that, then you get free of all that junk. Once you get free, you realize everything that He taught wasn't just for the fivefold elite. It's for you. The fivefold elite's just to, what, equip you to do the work of the ministry. Inheritance comes to sons and daughters. That is the movement that's coming on the planet. Are you with me? And I'm telling you, I'm just coming to stir you enough to go, is that crazy man right? And here's the deal. If what you're doing right now works for you, then don't even listen to anything I say. But if it ain't, maybe you ought to try it. You ought to at least go, let me go and see if there's anything to this. Just ask Daddy and get sucked through the veil. Because once you go there once, it's over. You hear me? It's over. You will never be satisfied again. I mean, there's times I'm like, I can't wait to get home from church so I can go to my bedroom. Well, I can get away from everybody. It's like, I just want to get away so I can go spend time with Him. Because listen, I'm not going in there begging Him to show up. I know He's going to show up. I talked about encounters last night. Had one in the home I'm in. I mean, I woke up this morning, my heart, I was just shaking. It was like my heart was just coming out of my chest. I mean, I was crying, shaking under the presence of God. Why? Because I expect the encounter. I go to bed going, you have the right to invade my dream life tonight. Why? I believe He's going to. Why? That's the kind of God He is. Sometimes He's not trying to tell me anything. I wake up like that and I said, God, what are you doing? He said, I'm just loving on you. I said, well, give me some more. Just love on me some more. There's times I can't get out of bed of a morning. My wife will come to get me up. I said, just leave me alone. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm like, there's nothing like it. Once you have His presence, that's the ultimate. Well, you got meetings today. Cancel them. I'm not coming out of this. As long as He's here, I'm right here. Because this is what I learned. I'll come out of it thinking I got to go do stuff and then try to get back into it. He don't show up. He says, Darren, I have to be the priority. He said, I will give you opportunity to see where your heart is. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, there's times when this thing, I've learned this. I don't get up. I'm like, I'm staying right here. I don't care. Somebody can leave my church if they want to. When I'm in that presence, that's it. It's the ultimate. Because it's all about knowing Him. You following? Stand up with me. Let me pray over you. Listen, I'm telling you, I can feel it in this place tonight. Y'all need to reach out and grab this. God, I pray over them tonight what I am talking about. God, as I said last night, You have given me the authority to release encounters over people. Dreams and visions. God, the supernatural realm and the access of rest. Where it's not about getting something done. It's not even about fulfilling my destiny or my purpose. It's just about knowing You. Everything comes underneath that. It's just about knowing You.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.